Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 29th day of August, 2018. And I'm delighted to have on the program, for the very first time ever, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Peter Elliott. He is a convert from out of the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the RLDS, and today known as the Community of Christ. This is actually part two of a three-part series that we are doing on the RLDS cult. We began on Monday with Paul Trask as our guest. He is another convert from out of the RLDS to biblical Christianity. And today, our guest is Peter Elliott. We do intend next week to have another RLDS convert from out of that group to biblical Christianity. And her name is Carol Hansen. And we're looking forward to that interview, God willing, with her next week. But today, as I said, we have as our guest today for the very first time, Peter Elliott, and he is the author of a book, A Church's History and Theology Led to Reasons for Disbelief, One Man's Story of Leaving the RLDS Community Church of Christ. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Peter Elliott.
Thanks for that, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also co-hosting the program with me today is Pastor Jason Wallace, pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah, and also founder of LDS.video. It's great to have you back on the program, Pastor Jason Wallace. Although you've been a guest on this program a number of times, is this the first time that you've co-hosted with me?
Yes.
And it's great to have you as a part of this program, even though you're, when it comes to the cults, being a resident of Magna, Utah, not far from Salt Lake City, obviously your focus of attention is the larger group, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. But and you have dedicated an evangelistic effort to them through LDS.video, but it's glad that you would join us today to probably learn a lot yourself for the first time about the RLDS, but tell us about Christ Presbyterian Church of Magna, Utah.
We're a congregation of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which basically means we're a conservative remnant of the old Presbyterian Church here in America. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. We've been here for 20 years. We started from scratch. The Lord's blessed. We have congregation here just outside Salt Lake. We have a sister congregation in Ogden. And we've tried to be aggressive in outreach, and we've done that through book tables, debates. We also, for the last few years, have been putting out evangelistic videos. We have 8 aimed at a Mormon and former Mormon audience at LDS.video. We have also, homosexuality is a big thing here in Utah, and so we have gaychristian.video with a video aimed at answering the claims of that movement. And we just released a couple months ago an earnest plea to Roman Catholics, and it's at romancatholic.video, and all those are free.
Great, and we'll be repeating that information later on, God willing. But, Peter Elliott, you are from a fifth generation of members of the RLDS, and yet you live in Australia, in Western Australia. The RLDS, as you know, is most commonly known to citizens of Missouri, because of the fact that that is where they are most prevalent, and they obviously found their way over the last 100 years or so to Western Australia. Tell us about how the RLDS migrated over there, to your knowledge.
Well, my family connection goes back really to the first Mormon mission to England, which took place in 1840. Under when the original leader, Joseph Smith, was still alive. And I had an ancestor by the name of Francis White, who apparently converted to Mormonism during that first mission to England. And, he subsequently moved to Western Australia, and his descendants, stayed within the church, but eventually through the development and the split between the Utah Mormons and the RLDS, they eventually affiliated with the RLDS, and my family had been part of the RLDS ever since that time. So there were five generations before me. I was generation number six, and that was really a key part of the RLDS in Western Australia.
Now, would you have been growing up a real outsider in your own homeland? I mean, were there, other than your own congregation, were there other RLDS folks that you knew and had fellowship with, or what was the situation like there?
In one way we were outsiders. There were really only two branches within the Perth metropolitan area. There was the Fremantle branch, which I attended, and there was a branch that was called the Woodlands branch. And they were really the only two branches in our whole state.
When you say branch, would that be similar to the way some denominations use the word parish, or?
Yes, it would be similar to a parish.
Okay.
And so that was really the only connection. Yeah.
And so, being that long, in that, that group, I'm sure that this was a very heartfelt and cherished religion for your family since you were in it so long. Tell us something about growing up RLDS, as far as perhaps stories that you heard from your parents and grandparents about the movement, or even things that you did as a family that were uniquely RLDS, things that your average family in Australia would not have participated in, or things that the average family in Australia, whether they were Christian or not, participated in that you did not, in a reverse way. Tell us something about that.
In some ways, our family would have looked very similar to a lot of other church families, I think. You would have walked into a lot of our services and not been able to tell too much difference from walking into most mainline denominations. There weren't that many mentions of the church distinctives publicly all that often, but they were definitely there. My grandfather was the pastor of the church in Fremantle for many years. My stepfather, when my mother remarried, was also the pastor of the church in his time. My mother was a church organist for 32 years. So we're very much involved in it. The distinctives were mainly defining us against the LDS group and emphasizing the differences between the two groups. In terms of what we did or didn't do, I think most of the people in the church took a stance against alcohol. So we tended not to drink alcohol. But apart from that, there weren't any distinctive practices. We didn't do anything as colorful as the LDS group and have underwear with magic symbols on it or anything like that.
Okay.
And we didn't particularly have an affinity for bicycles.
I'm sure that that those of our listeners who missed Monday's show with Paul Trask, who actually, for those of our listeners who missed that program, Paul Trask founded a ministry called Refiner's Fire Ministry, and they publish a number of books about the RLDS. It's the only Christian ministry I know of that has a major emphasis on the RLDS, and they actually make available this book that we are talking about today, Reasons for Disbelief, One Man's Story of Leaving the RLDS, Community of Christ Church by Peter Elliott. But for those of our listeners who missed Monday, if you could tell us about some of the major differences. In fact, let's back up a little bit. Before we get the major differences on the RLDS and the LDS, the RLDS and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, the major group from Salt Lake, tell us about how the group initially split, and then we will get into some of the major differences. And, of course, those of you who heard Monday's program with Paul Trask, there may be some overlap, but, of course, Peter Elliott may also bring to light things that we didn't have time to address on Monday. So, if you could, start with where the split came.
Sure. The split really originally came when Joseph Smith, the founder, died in 1844 at the age of 39. And so the split initially happened over the issue of who was the correct leader to succeed Joseph. Now, Brigham Young, as key amongst the apostles, there was a group that felt that Brigham should be the leader to take over after Joseph. But there was another group that felt that Joseph had appointed his son, also called Joseph, who became known as Joseph Smith III, as his successor. The problem was, at the time of Joseph Smith's death in 1844, his son was only aged about 12, so clearly not in a position to take leadership of anything. But the group that felt that Joseph had really anointed his son for the role really became the RLDS, so they waited, effectively, until such time as the son was old enough to decide whether or not he wanted to take over from his father. He did do that, and then the reorganized church formed some years later as a result of Joseph Smith Jr.'s son taking on the father's mantle, as it were. In the meantime, of course, the group following Brigham Young had moved over to Utah and became the LDS group. So the original split was over that issue of succession.
And there are major differences between the two religions that actually make them, in many ways, entirely different religions that have some similarities. I would say the same thing, for instance, about evangelical Christianity, historic reformational Protestantism, the branch of the church to which I belong. I would say that the Roman Catholic Church is an entirely different religion that has a lot of similarities, but they have differences that are too significant to claim that they are the same religion, because especially the gospel is different. But in the same way, I would say, from what I know of the differences between the RLDS and the LDS, that the differences are so significant that they would be really two entirely different religions. Would you agree with that, Peter?
I think there's a huge amount of similarity. Well, as you've said about Roman Catholics and evangelicals, there's obviously a huge amount of similarity, but there are also some significant differences. So I would agree along those lines. The other interesting thing about the RLDS is, in more recent times, how they've changed. So you've got your historic differences, which we'll talk about, but you've also got how the RLDS has positioned themselves relative to those original historic distinctives in the last 40 or 50 years. So I might go back to the original historic distinctives, which are particularly around, I think, three main areas of doctrine. And those main areas are polygamy, baptism for the dead, and plurality of gods. So when I was growing up, they were three things that were seen as being very much keeping us apart from and really justifying our continued separate existence from the LDS Utah group. And my grandfather, who was pastor, as I said, for many years, he would always identify himself as a member of the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, not the Mormons. And these were, at that stage, say back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, the key differences. So polygamy, baptism for the dead, and plurality of gods were the big three.
And yes, well, that is a huge difference because it's obviously one of the huge differences that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has with Christianity is the area of monotheism. Christians are monotheistic. We believe in the Trinity, and the Trinity, as everyone who is a Christian, has some familiarity with the fact that it is the teaching that God is one God and three co-eternal and yet distinctive persons that are co-equal. And the Mormons believe not only are there an unlimited number, an infinite number of gods, they believe they can become one of them if they are faithful. So that is a huge difference, that doctrine of progression, which you are saying also separates the RLDS from the LDS.
That's right, Chris. So the version that I was taught growing up, taking that issue of plurality of gods, was that really plurality of gods was something that hadn't been taught by Joseph Smith and was really something that was a later development, from that, you know, that really bad lot that went over to Utah, was what I was taught. Now, you know, we can get onto this in a minute if you want, but subsequently my own investigation proved that really what I'd been taught as a child growing up in the RLDS about Joseph having nothing to do with that really wasn't correct.
Yes, and in fact, that would go along with the polygamy as well. I know that the RLDS, I don't know if they've come to admit it in recent history, but from what I understand, the RLDS adamantly denied that Joseph Smith was a polygamist himself, nor did he advocate it. And then there is irrefutable evidence of that that has arose during the centuries since the Mormon Church began, that he was certainly a polygamist. Am I right on that? That the RLDS denied that there was any connection between Joseph and polygamy?
Yes, that's true. That certainly was the version that I grew up with. The interesting thing is the divergence between the versions that I was taught, my parents and grandparents were taught, and what later came to be gradually admitted, although never really publicly taught and published by the leadership of the church in Independence, Missouri. So as part of my own investigation during the 1979-1980 period, I was in correspondence with particularly Richard Howard, who was at the time the RLDS church historian. And in the book that you referred to earlier, you know, I quote from some of Richard's correspondence, and it was becoming obvious to me that some of the stuff that I was discovering, which of course was sometimes based on primary documents, but sometimes based on the work of others like the Tanners, for example. The RLDS leadership in the 1970s, 80s period was actually coming to accept some of the real difficulties of the traditional positions they'd held on these three doctrines and really coming to, I guess, something of a revisionist understanding of that, but not really coming out and publicly telling the people of that.
Now, can you repeat what you just said? There was a little bit of distortion from the Skype audio, but are you saying that the RLDS in the 1970s started to become more assimilated to historic Christianity in their teachings? Is that what you were saying?
No. I'm definitely not saying that. What I am saying is that they were really, the leadership of the church in that period was really revising its understanding of some of these historical teachings about those big three doctrines. And essentially, in many ways, coming to agree more with the historic claims of the LDS group in Utah.
Oh, okay, the reverse of what I thought I heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and but even so, they never adopted, from what I understand, they never adopted the progression to godhood or... obviously, by the 1970s, nobody was practicing polygamy in either of the groups. But what do you mean by the other teachings, as far as assimilating more to the LDS understanding?
In terms of, say, baptism for the dead, one of the things that I'd been taught growing up was that baptism for the dead had never really been practiced. It was something that had been foreshadowed. It was something that had been discussed as going to take place in the Nauvoo Temple when the Nauvoo Temple was eventually completed. But because the Nauvoo Temple wasn't completed, the original RLDS view was that the conditions for baptism for the dead were never actually met, and so it didn't actually take place. Now, certainly in later years, the RLDS historians like Richard Howard, their investigations came to show up exactly the opposite, and that, you know, baptism for the dead had been practiced in the river, and it had also been practiced in a makeshift font in the Nauvoo Temple itself, I think. So that was one of the issues. The other one with the polygamy issue had been maintained for many years that Joseph had never been involved in that. And his widow, Emma, had apparently always denied it. But again, as you've said, the evidence came forth, and the reorganized church leaders saw that and appreciated the weight of the evidence. But one of the issues I had with the RLDS leadership back in the 80s was that they never actually came clean, if you like, and published their findings in a way that was accessible to the general membership of the RLDS church.
They hid his polygamy. They hid Joseph's polygamy, you're saying?
Yeah, so polygamy, baptism for the dead, and plurality of gods, they never really published the views that they had come to hold as the leaders of the RLDS church, which is that Joseph had really been involved in all of these things. So that cut to an issue of honesty and integrity.
And I guess that was one of the areas where your faith in the RLDS system began to crack.
It was indeed, because my correspondence with Richard Howard and subsequent correspondence between both, my mother got extremely distressed by what I was discovering, and much to my surprise, actually sent a copy of my book. I mean, we only ever printed 24 copies for local distribution, in my mind, of the first print run. And she sent a copy of that to the leaders of the church in 1980 with a please explain letter. So it was an interesting way of instigating a correspondence between us and the church leaders. But one of the things that came out of that correspondence, when we challenged them as to why they weren't publishing the views that they now held, was the response that they really had their words were a long-range plan to change the thinking of the people of the church. So for us, that just sounded like brainwashing.
Yeah, and Jason Wallace, you had a question for our guest today, Peter Elliott.
I was curious, with your family being among the early converts there in England, if in that interim period from 1844 to the reorganization in 1860, were they connected with James Strang at all?
Not as far as I know, Jason, no.
And could you tell us, Jason, about that group, that branch or sect splinter group of the Mormons?
Sure. There was controversy when Joseph Smith died about who would be his successor. Obviously, Emma and others claimed that Joseph had intended his son to succeed him. The senior member of the leadership was Sidney Rigdon, and he claimed leadership. He was a member of the First Presidency. Brigham Young was the senior member of the 12 apostles, and he ends up taking a large chunk of people eventually to Utah, but there were many people who didn't go along, and one fellow who had been a fairly recent convert by the name of James Strang had a letter that he purported made him Joseph's successor, and he ends up moving off to Wisconsin, to Boree, Wisconsin, and he soon claims not only that has he received all these other things, he claims to find his own plates. And at one point, Joseph's mother, member of the 12 apostles, number of other people, all gravitated towards him. And he had about 12,000 followers when Brigham had less than 50,000. So it was a fairly significant splinter group, but had difficulties, and then people ended up turning on each other, and one of them shot Strang. And when he died, many of the group ended up joining in the reorganization that took place in 1860.
Fascinating. Well, we're going back now we are entering into our first station break. If anybody has a question that they would like to ask of our guest, Peter Elliott, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a member of the RLDS and you want to disagree with our guest and you don't want to draw attention to yourself. I understand that. Or perhaps you're a member of the RLDS and you're questioning that group yourself and you don't want to come out of the closet, as it were, yet. Well, we can understand why there might be a number of reasons why you would remain anonymous. But if it's not a personal and private matter, please, as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we look forward to hearing from you. In fact, we already have a number of people waiting patiently for their questions to be asked and answered. And we will get to as many of you as we can as time will allow. But don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Peter Elliott and more of our discussion on his conversion out from the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints into biblical Christianity. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers.
I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a half hour that we just already had with 90 minutes to go, our guest is Peter Elliott. Peter Elliott grew up in the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and spent most of his early 20s traveling the world, living off tinned fish and yogurt, gold prospecting, and escaping from government jobs. Since then, he has earned a bachelor's degree in English literature from the West Australian Institute of Technology, now Curtin University, and a Bachelor of Divinity and a Master's in Theology from Murdoch University. Most recently, Peter has submitted a doctoral thesis entitled Edward Irving, Romantic Theology in Crisis at Murdoch University, which we hope to interview Peter on in the future. Peter lectures in church history in several colleges and lives near Fremantle, Western Australia, with his wife Deborah and their two sons, Joel and Jason, and we are discussing his book, Reasons for Disbelief, One Man's Story of Leaving the RLDS Community of Christ Church. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and our co-host today with me to discuss this issue today is Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church, which is a congregation in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church denomination in Magna, Utah, not far from Salt Lake City. He is also founder and director of LDS.video. Well, Peter, tell us more about how the crumbling history or the revealing of the falsities, the cover-ups and lies about the RLDS church history began to draw you more and more away from them and eventually into biblical, historical Christianity.
Sure, Chris. I think one of the key things for me in doing the research that I did, and I might just backtrack a little bit as to how I started that research. As I said, I grew up in the RLDS church, and one of the similarities between the RLDS and the LDS is how they call their priesthood members. So one day you get a tap on your shoulder from the pastor who says, I believe God's calling you to the office of priest or teacher or deacon, whatever it is. And then you're supposed to pray about that and then come back with your answer, yes or no. Now, I started to see people who were younger than me in my branch getting called to priesthood offices. And I was getting a bit nervous. I thought one day the tap is going to come on my shoulder. Now, my stepfather was the pastor at that time, and I probably wasn't leading the most regular of lives as a young guy. That might have bought me a bit of time. I knew one day that tap on my shoulder was going to come. So a friend of mine had an opportunity to travel overseas for an extended period of time, and he asked me to go with him. And I took that opportunity, realizing that what I needed to do, really, and bear in mind this time when I'm 20, 21, I still believed that the RLDS teachings were probably completely true. But the one thing I didn't want was to just accept because five generations of my family had. I wanted to have my own testimony, my own faith. And I realized that the RLDS and LDS churches made historic claims, and I realized that I could actually investigate those. So for me, that meant I needed to get access to some materials that were not readily available in Western Australia. So when I traveled overseas, I made sure I got to Independence, Missouri. And I got into the archives there, started a friendship with the librarian, and started getting hold of a lot of material that I would later bring back to Perth and start researching. So that's really where it all began. And when I got back to Perth around the end of 1979, I started researching this material. One of the interesting things I came across was something called the position papers. Now, this is completely RLDS, nothing to do with the LDS, but it's a very interesting turning point for the official position, if you like, of the RLDS Church. What was happening was in the late 1960s, around 1967, the RLDS Church was developing what it called its new curriculum. In other words, what are we going to teach people in our churches? And as part of that, they developed these positions on all of the historical distinctives of the reorganized church. And just to give you a couple of those, and by the way, these position papers were never intended to be made public, but they got leaked out. So in these position papers, for example, they actually discount the historicity of the Book of Mormon itself. And they also discount the so-called inspired version, which was the version of the scriptures that the RLDS used in preference to the King James, which the LDS used. So basically, you've got the leaders of the church preparing in private these position papers that are completely taking a different view on their major distinctives from what had been taught previously. And it's going to form the basis for what the church is teaching during the 1970s. So when these papers got leaked out, it caused a bit of a controversy. And it was a further step in me realizing that effectively the church leadership was making changes of direction, but they were not openly communicating that to the members.
Wow. We have some questions from listeners. First of all, quite an interesting individual. We have Steve, and Steve is from West Boylston, Massachusetts. And what makes Steve interesting, I'm going to give actually his full name and his church, because Steve has been a guest on this program in the past, as has his senior pastor. Steve is associate pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts. And just for a quick plug for him, it's the website is bbcchurch.org, bbcchurch.org, and also nocompromiseradio.com, nocompromiseradio.com. But Steve Cooley was a Mormon. He's a Mormon convert to biblical Christianity, not a convert from the RLDS, but from the LDS. And Steve has a few questions here, actually. First of all, he asks, is the RLDS engaged in missionary work like the LDS?
So my understanding is yes, it is. But as I think I might have mentioned in an earlier comment, that I think predominantly now they are focusing their efforts probably in third world regions, but the difference is that they've never had the same sort of system that the LDS have, where there's an expectation that young people will spend a certain period of time as full-time missionaries. That's never been part of the RLDS focus. And I think that the fact that they have taken really a revisionist stance on their historic beliefs really puts them in an awkward position. They're now effectively offering people what is really not much different from, say, some a liberal form of Protestantism, with a an interesting historical twist to it. Let's say.
Yeah, you're talking about the current Community of Christ.
Correct.
And Steve also says, I remember the RLDS seems to be less adverse to the physical symbol of the cross. Is that true?
I didn't really notice much response to that either way. In the RLDS church that I grew up in, there was a plain cross symbol on the back.
Oh, really?
Of the church, yeah.
And that would never be the case in an LDS temple or chapel ward, I should say, or temple for that matter.
Yeah.
He also asks, Steve asks, does the RLDS have temples?
No. They've got a site for the temple, in Independence, Missouri, and they've built something on it, but nothing in the way that temple is understood in LDS. So in terms of the LDS history of, basically plagiarizing Masonic ritual for their temple ritual, there's nothing like that.
And Steve's final question is, does the RLDS give the same deference to the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and Book of Mormon as the LDS?
Yes and no. it's a complicated question. As part of the position papers previously mentioned, as early as the 1960s, the RLDS leaders were really discounting the historicity of the Book of Mormon. So if you ask them, do they regard it as scripture? They will say yes. But how they interpret that would be, I think, very different from the LDS, version. The Doctrine and Covenants, they have a separate one. So they still would consider the Doctrine and Covenants as scripture. But of course, they've had their own succession of, presidents, you know, prophets of the church. So they have some revelations in their Doctrine and Covenants that are, have come since the split. So, therefore completely different from the LDS Doctrine and Covenants.
And I overlooked one final question here. Is the RLDS growing or shrinking? Has the internet impacted the RLDS as it has the LDS?
Yeah, I think this is really a question for Paul Trask, but Paul and I your other guest coming up, Carol Hansen, have had discussions on this in recent years. The funny thing is that the RLDS continues to quote the figure of membership of 250,000, but it's been quoting that figure for about 40 years and it's never changed. it must be the only organization in church history that's been going for so long and the membership has never either increased or decreased officially. I'm being a bit facetious in saying that. The membership has definitely declined, but they're just not releasing the figures by how much. But if you look at some of the recent developments in terms of church finances, it's becoming pretty obvious that the RLDS is struggling.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you for giving me your full mailing address, because you have won a free copy of Reasons for Disbelief by Peter Elliott. And we will have cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship that out to you at no charge to you or to us. And we also want to thank, again, Paul Trask and Refiners Fire Ministries for providing us with these books. We have, we have another question. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask this question, and then I'm going to have you answer it when we come back from our break, and I'll even forward you the question, Peter, so you have it right in front of you as well, so that you could read it during the station break that we are about to enter into. But Mike from Florida here, let's see, he's from Lee County, Florida, city of Cape Coral. And Mike says, where I live here in Lee County, Florida city of Cape Coral, is a Community of Christ church. Do you have any tracts that I could leave at their building? They moved into a larger facility about 3 years ago, so I'm assuming that they're growing in numbers. Special shout out to Jason Wallace of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah. Thank you for your ministry. So you have a fan out there in Florida, Jason. But I'm going to have you answer that, Peter, when we come back from the break. And if anybody else would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is our longer-than-normal break. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us at least 12 minutes during the midway section of the program, separating the two major segments of the program, because they have their own commercials and public service announcements that they air to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, some of which is a requirement of the FCC. And they air this program, by the way, twice a day in both morning and evening slots, 8 to 10 a.m. and 8 to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, in a rerun format. But so since this is an elongated break, please use this time wisely. Write down questions for our guest, Peter Elliott, about the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, today known as the Community of Christ. And also use this time to write down information provided by our advertisers. The more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, which means the more likely we will remain on the air, because we rely upon our advertisers sponsoring us to survive, and we also rely heavily upon donations as well. So please use this time to write down information that our advertisers provide so that you can more successfully and more frequently patronize them. But also, send us an email for our guest, Peter Elliott, at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages. Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
J.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Peter Elliott. We've got about an hour to go. And we are discussing reasons for disbelief, one man's story of leaving the RLDS Community of Christ Church. The RLDS, if you've just tuned us in, is the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a different branch of Mormonism, a lot smaller group with some unique things that set them apart, make them distinct and different, and separate from the larger body of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah. If you have questions about Peter, his testimony of conversion, technical or theological or doctrinal or issues of practice regarding the RLDS Church, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we return to our discussion, I just have a few more announcements to make. First of all, there are two events that I have organized coming up next week in Switzerland, Florida, nearby to Jacksonville. The first is on Friday, September 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Jacksonville. They have more than one campus, and this is at the Jacksonville campus. My friend, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and his friend, Dr. Michael L. Brown of the Line of Fire radio program and of the Fire School for Ministry, they are going to be lecturing on the theme, A House Mended, Christian Unity in a Culture of Outrage. That is Friday, September 7th, 6:30 p.m. at the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary's Jacksonville, Florida campus. If you'd like more details, go to the website of one of the sponsoring churches, Switzerland Community Church, and that is switzerlandcommunitychurch.org, switzerlandcommunitychurch.org. The following night, I have organized a debate that both Dr. James R. White and Dr. Michael L. Brown will be involved in. They are both going to be debating two homosexuals who are ordained ministers and who believe that homosexuality in its desire and in its practice are not to be viewed upon as sin. They are not to be viewed upon as something that opposes the will of God, opposes the teaching of the New Testament. The theme of the debate is homosexuality consistent with New Testament obedience? As Saturday night, September 8th at 6:30 p.m. as well, that's going to be held at the Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, nearby to Jacksonville. If you'd like information about that event, which is free of charge, you can also go to switzerlandcommunitychurch.org, switzerlandcommunitychurch.org. Then coming up in November on the 9th and the 10th, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. The theme this year is the glory of the cross. Once again, that's November 9th and 10th, and it will be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. Speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. I will have an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth there, God willing. So I hope you join me there on November 9th and the 10th. Go to alliancenet.org to register. That's alliancenet.org. Click on events and then scroll down to Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. Then coming up in January, the G3 Conference. returns to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And I am so excited to be there for my third year in a row, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, God willing. And the speakers include Paul Washer, John Piper, Stephen Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. And the list goes on. It's a very long list on that roster. If you would like to join me there at the G3 Conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. I would strongly advise that you, if you have a business or a parachurch ministry that you want to promote amongst the crowd of nearly 5,000 people that are expected to be there, I expect that you not only register for attendance, but register for your own exhibitor's booth at g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Please make sure that you tell all of these folks that are running these events that you heard about those events from Chris Arnes and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. By the way, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service has a special offer that if you order from them by going to cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com, you can get, by purchasing a minimum of $50, you will get for free the book From Pride to Humility by Stuart Scott, and you will also get free shipping on that order of $50 or more by going to cvbbs.com. And you could also call them toll-free Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card, and you can also send in a check via snail mail to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Two caveats that I try to remember to tell you every day: never siphon money away from the regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and providing for your family. Although providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God, if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please consider supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as often as you can. And we look forward to receiving your internet donations or your checks via snail mail. And I thank God for all of you who have already been doing that. And if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, put advertising in the subject line. And we will help you launch an ad campaign as long as whatever it is you're promoting does not combat with or militate against what we believe here. As long as you are not promoting something that conflicts with my beliefs, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you just need to be promoting something that does not conflict with what I believe. And by the way, if you want to send in a question to our guest, Peter Elliott, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, the same email address that I just mentioned. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And if you remember, Peter, before the break, we had a listener from Florida who basically was asking for recommendations for tracks, because in Lee County, Florida, city of Cape Coral, there is a Community of Christ church there that has just erected a new building that's larger, so he wants to bring tracks there. And if you could give him any recommendations and even tips about the very act of bringing tracks to the building.
Sure, Chris. During the break, I've actually had an email on this from Paul Trask. Paul has directed the listener in the short term to his website, which is www.help4rlds.com, and the four is a number. And there are some short articles there that Paul thinks might help your listener. And the other thing Paul's saying, Chris, is that he's going to send to you some hard copy tracts that they use there in Missouri that then you can forward on to this listener or to any others. So I think that's the best response from here in Perth anyway.
And, well, thank you, Michael. Please make sure we have your full mailing address there in the Cape Coral area so we can have CVBBS.com mail you your own copy of Reasons for Disbelief by our guest, Peter Elliott. My guest, Pastor Jason Wallace, you had a question for Peter Elliott as well, if you could.
Yes, I was curious. The Community of Christ, the RLDS, seemed to have become very socially liberal in recent years. And a lot of the folks that are joining them here in Utah seem to be homosexuals or people pressing for women's ordination, things like that. Is that something that you're seeing elsewhere?
Look, I'm afraid I can't actually comment on that. Effectively, you know, my research led to me obviously leaving the RLDS about 30 years ago. And although I still have some relatives who are linked with the group, I can't.
That are linked with what? Could you repeat that?
Sure. I still have some relatives who are linked with the RLDS.
Oh, okay.
But I can't really comment on, the demographics of who may be joining the group at the moment here in Australia, I'm afraid.
Okay. Yeah. So you left 30 years ago, and I want to hear more about specifics that led you to finally say, I am no longer going to be associated with the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I renounce my membership from them. I am now embracing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ that is taught in Scripture, the true Jesus Christ of Scripture, and placing my allegiance with him. And where you finally made the break and you became a member of a Bible-believing church. Tell us about that exodus in more detail.
Okay. Well, this will probably take me about 10 minutes, Chris.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. So basically, when I came to the end of the research that I did in 1980, I had examined the church and its distinctives historically, and I just came to the conclusion, much to my surprise initially, that I could no longer believe. And so for me, that meant that I had to make a decision to leave the church. But the initial obligation I felt was to actually put something into print, which is the book you've been referring to during your program. So the main reason for that was that I realized I'd done the investigation. I'd got some documents, access to documents from America that were simply not accessible to people in Western Australia. So that's why I initially put together that particular book, and we circulated it to the membership. And I expected people to challenge me, to be angry with me. What really stunned me was the level of inertia. I couldn't understand why people who officially were committed to a particular theological position, when it was challenged, couldn't be bothered or didn't want to engage with that particular contrary point of view. I actually kept going to the church for about a year after I published that book, simply because I wanted to be available. I wanted people to be able to challenge what I'd written, but very few people did. So after that process, I stopped attending the church, resigned my membership. But what I was left with at that point was really simply a vague belief in God, but nothing much beyond that. Now, not long after I wrote that book, you've read on the back of the book that I went gold prospecting. So I went gold prospecting.
Sounds like you have a lot in common with Joseph Smith.
Yeah. Well, you know, leave out the sea of stone and a few other things. And I've sort of always kept to the one wife, really. So I went gold prospecting with my two friends, and as a result of that, cut a long story short, I accepted a bet to walk around Ireland. Now, this was walking around Ireland, not hitchhiking. So I took up that bet, and in the second half of 1981, I spent about 3 months walking around Ireland. Now, while I was doing that, I actually read my way through the New Testament. And because I'd gone back to sources where RLDS was concerned, I'd gone back as far as I could to original sources, it made sense to me to go back to original sources where Jesus was concerned. So I spent 3 months walking around Ireland reading the New Testament. The other thing that happened was that this was not long after the Camp David peace accords between Israel and Egypt. So on the same trip, I visited both Israel and Egypt. And really my conversion took place in Jerusalem, actually. So when I got to Israel, where I stayed predominantly were in Christian hospices, mainly because I figured out I probably wasn't going to get ripped off by the people staying there.
Is that like a hostel? You said hospice.
Yeah, it is. They call them hospices, I think, mainly.
Because usually in America, anyway, a hospice is where a terminally ill patient is cared for.
Yeah, yeah. So by this time, I'd read through the New Testament. I had, you know, some idea of really of what it taught. But what I started encountering in Israel were a lot of people for whom Jesus had made a difference in their life. One of the things that happened growing up in the RLDS church was that, really looking back, it was much more like a social club than anything else. It was something people went to really as a religious ritual, and I didn't see it making much difference to how they lived their lives apart from the commitment itself to the group. When I got to Israel, I started meeting some amazing... still there, Chris?
Still here. When you got to Israel, you got to meet some amazing people?
Yeah, some amazing Christian guys for whom their faith was actually affecting how they lived their lives and the choices that they made. I'll give you one example. I met a guy called Dave who was in his 20s. He looked like a surfer, but he told me he was actually a former professional gambler. Now, I didn't really believe this, but he demonstrated his card-counting ability, and I did. Now, this guy had left... a career as a professional gambler to come to Israel, left thousands of dollars on a bed in a hotel room and walked back to God. And I thought, okay. I met some theology students. I met Episcopalian ministers. I met person after person in Israel that they were actually, their faith made a difference in how they lived their lives. Now, I guess the climactic moment for me came just as I was about to leave Jerusalem for the last time. Many of your listeners would know there's a place there called the Garden Tomb. And I visited the Garden Tomb on a number of occasions, but on this last occasion, as I was about to leave Jerusalem, I was sitting in the Garden Tomb by myself, and I was just really pondering the cumulative effects of reading the New Testament, meeting all these people, who were saying that Jesus was alive and changing their lives. And I was sitting with the empty tomb in front of me. And I remember being really annoyed because a lot of tourists were going inside the tomb and taking photographs. And, you know, I was sitting in front of this empty tomb and there are all these flashbulbs going off. And people being, you know, quite honestly a bit crass about it all. And I gradually became aware in the garden that there were three separate worship services going on around me. There was a group of Germans on one side, a group of, I think, Japanese on another, and a group of Afro-Americans on another. So I'm surrounded by three separate worship services in three separate languages. And in front of me, there's an empty tomb with flashbulbs going off. Now, at that moment, I almost burst out laughing. I'd realized that this was essentially a stage-managed operation. And it was a soap opera moment with a flourish of overkill that I would have had to be particularly stupid not to see. And I realized that, you know, God had got me to that point in my life, and actually stuck me in front of an empty tomb with flashbulbs going off and three separate worship services around me, effectively almost reenacting the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And at that moment, I realized, well, look, this is it. And I uttered those, the most dangerous words anyone can utter is, I surrender, I'm yours. And for me, that was it. That was the moment of conversion. I was by myself in the garden tomb in Jerusalem, flashbulbs, three gospel choirs. That's where God got me.
Praise God. And so from what you said earlier, your mother had not immediately followed step with you. Has anybody from your family as of yet joined you in your exodus out of the RLDS?
Yes, they have, Chris. For one reason and another, my mother certainly did resign her membership. My stepfather ceased to become active. My grandmother, my grandparents remained members until they died, but in her latter years, my grandmother, in her 90s actually, admitted that she could well have been wrong about what she believed.
Hmm.
So, and there were a number of other people, not necessarily certainly just because of what I'd written, but I just think because of what God was doing generally at the time, who did make an exodus out of the RLDS Church. The RLDS Church here in Perth now is much smaller than it was 30 or 40 years ago.
Now, how long ago, please forgive me for making you repeat this if you already said it, but how long ago did your mom leave?
Well, really, as soon as I wrote the book in 1980, my mum's doubts really matched my own, and she started engaging in her own correspondence with the church leaders, which is actually now printed in the back of the book. And so, in essence, I think she left in her heart before she actually left in writing, but it would have been back sometime in the 1980s that she actually wrote that letter of resignation.
Now, you said your dad also left. Did either of them actually, though, come to faith in Christ? Because I, from what I understand, not only about the LDS, the larger cult, but with cults in general, although we always rejoice whenever we hear about anyone leaving there who is saved by the grace of God and becomes a Christian, there are many people who leave cults who become atheists or agnostics at the very best, because they are just so disillusioned and hurt, and they feel that they have been deceived that a deity even exists, or deities plural. What's the situation with your parents, and what do you know about RLDS folks in general?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, certainly with my parents. My mum certainly has a living faith in Christ. And my stepdad, who passed away a couple of years ago, I think he had, I'm not entirely sure, but I think he retained a faith in Christ, and certainly he had a prayer life, I know that. But beyond that, I couldn't really say. But my mum, I'm confident she has, and also a number of other people here who've left the reorganized church have found themselves in Orthodox Christian assemblies.
Well, praise God for that. Before we go to the break, this is our last break. Pastor Jason Wallace, do you have a question that you'd like to ask of Peter Elliott?
No, I think he's answered them. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to our final break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages with more of Peter Elliott and his exodus out of the cult known as the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
¶¶
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on SermonAudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And once again, I want to thank everybody who has been praying for Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, who had his very serious, complicated, delicate, and dangerous open heart surgery last Friday. Well, he continues to improve. They expect him to return home this Friday, God willing. And I want to thank you, and I know that he wants to thank you from the bottom of his heart for all the prayers that went up to the throne of grace on his behalf during this very frightening trial in his life. And let's pray that he continues to be stronger and healthier than he has been in years, and that he becomes a even more spiritually healthy man as a result of this trial that our loving and gracious God has placed him in. And we thank Mike Gaidosh for the wonderful blessing he has been to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for so long. And more importantly, I want to thank God for him, for his placing Mike in my life back in the 1980s. He was my very first pastor. He baptized me, was my mentor in the faith, and continues to be a mentor in the faith. And there is no words I can adequately use to describe the importance of Mike Gaidosh in my life. And I just thank the Lord that he has come through the surgery with flying colors, and I will keep you updated. I just want to give a quick shout out to my new friend, or reasonably or fairly new friend, Steve Amos in Perth, Australia. Steve contacted me, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 months ago, and he asked for a church recommendation, and it just so happened that the timing was providentially perfect, because the association to which the congregation where I am a member belongs, ARPCA, the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches of America, we just planted a church not long ago in Perth, pastored by Alan Beardmore. And I told Steve Amos in Perth, Australia about this church, and he and his wife visited, fell in love with the church, and have joined the church, and I believe are already members, if not becoming members very soon. And I wanted to give a plug to Steve's business, because they are creating a banner and other promotional material for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Art and Sign FX is the business. And you can email Steve Amos at info@artandsignfx. That's Frank Xylophone FX. And the word end is spelled out. It's artandsignedfx.com.au. artandsignfx.com.au, and the email address is info@artandsignfx.com.au. Now we are back with our conversation with Peter Elliott, author of the book Reasons for Disbelief, One Man's Story of Leaving the RLDS, Community of Christ Church. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who wants to know, Peter, if you remain in contact with the RLDS folks that used to be your fellow congregants there in Perth, and if you have made any headway by the grace of God in leading any of them out of that cult into the true body of Christ, and more importantly, to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Chris. The only contact that I really have still with the people who may still be linked with it is probably through social media. But most of the people of my generation either left either to go to a Christian church, or they just completely drifted away. So I don't really have any ongoing contact with many of the people in the church at all. But going back to 1980, early 1980s, which is when I left the church, wrote the book, then yes, certainly there were a lot of contacts going on there. A lot of us were questioning what the RLDS taught in the light of some of the things I've discovered. And quite a number of us leave the church, leave the RLDS church and convert to Christianity, particularly back in the 1980s. So there was a lot of stuff going on back then, but now I'm more distant from it.
And well, thank you, John, and give us your full mailing address in Bangor, Maine, because you have also won a free copy of Reasons for Disbelief by Peter Elliott, and that will be shipped out to you by our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CV CVBBS.com, CVBBS.com, and we also want to thank again our friends at Refiner's Fire Ministries for providing us with these free books that we are giving away. I know that you, from what Jason Wallace asked earlier, are not really completely up to speed with the rapid deterioration of the RLDS into basically mainstream liberalism. From what I heard Paul Trask say on Monday about the present Community of Christ, he didn't go in exhaustive detail, but they seemed barely distinguishable from the Unitarian Universalist denomination, which is an apostate liberal mainline Protestant denomination. But since these developments, have you seen splinter groups forming even in our recent day, in our modern day, of RLDS perhaps wanting to remain faithful to their roots?
Good question. I'll preface my answer by saying that I think the situation that the Community of Christ, as it's now called, finds itself in today, derives directly from the sort of things that I was writing about in my book back in 1980. In other words, having distanced themselves from those historical roots through things like the position papers, they had to find some place to land. And, you know, to be honest, I think this was motivated as much by the desire to, financial desire, really. People had positions in the church. They didn't want the church to implode, which I think it probably would have done if they'd been courageous enough to just publish openly things like what they said in the position papers. So having distanced themselves from the original historical interpretation of RLDS beliefs, they didn't have really many other places to go, apart from where they've ended up in this fairly liberal end of the spectrum. Now, in terms of splinter groups, there certainly were splinter groups arising back in the 1980s, where you had some more fundamentalist groups coming out of the RLDS, groups who could recognize that a change was happening from the top of the church down, that they were moving away from those traditional distinctive beliefs that were RLDS. But people didn't really know necessarily why. There were certainly conspiracy theories around. People felt the leaders of the RLDS church were betraying them, etc. But because they never made the reasons for the change public, people developed their own theories. So certainly back in the 1980s, there were splinter groups coming out. But as far as I can tell, not so much in recent times.
We have BB from Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I'm sorry if I missed this earlier, but does historic RLDS teaching involve works, righteousness, salvation, just as most cults endorse?
Insofar as they were clear on the subject, and I think there was a lot of lack of clarity in the RLDS, certainly the group that I grew up in Western Australia.
Yeah, Paul mentioned that there is very little systematic theology in that group.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So I can clearly remember my grandfather, who I said was a pastor for many years, completely preaching against and ridiculing from the pulpit the idea of having any personal relationship with Christ.
Wow.
And he, I think, was probably typical of that generation of preachers. So it was really, I think, by default, if not by systematics, that you were really left with a system of works.
Well, I asked this of Paul, and I'll have you answer the same question, because there are obviously many people who did not hear Paul Trask's interview on Monday. But where, I'm not talking about the modern day Community of Christ group, which is really not only an apostate group from Christianity, but from the RLDS. But as far as historic RLDS teaching, where is the cross of Christ in their theology? What importance does it have? Did Christ actually redeem his people on Calvary? What was the purpose in their view of the death of Christ and his resurrection, etc.?
Again, it was very much in the background when I was growing up, but the view really was one that Christ paid the price for Adam's sin, but then after that, you're on your own.
Wow. And as far as the Trinity is concerned, I remember Paul Trask on Monday basically saying that it seemed to him that the RLDS that he was familiar with before the more modern liberalism took over was he viewed it as a functional Trinitarianism. He said that it was not as the LDS views the Trinity as three separate deities, but he said that the theology was so lacking in a systematic basis that he wasn't 100% certain there wasn't some modalism involved in that Trinitarian view, which would obviously be a heretical view in regard to the actual belief historically and biblically about the Trinity. What is your understanding of the Trinity as far as the RLDS taught it in its historical form?
Yeah, I would say that it was more binitarian than Trinitarian. I always remember the Holy Spirit being referred to as it. And so the Holy Spirit was conceived in the teaching that I was exposed to as really an impersonal force. So rather than a third member of the Trinity.
Okay, I'd like you now to, before we take any other listener questions, I want to make sure that you have 5 minutes at least of uninterrupted time to summarize everything that you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding the RLDS, regarding your departure from it, regarding any words that you have to say, probably especially to those still in the RLDS, because I'm confident that God will eventually bring this program, if there are not already RLDS members listening right now, both old school and Community of Christ versions of it, I'm confident that eventually it will wind up in the hands, or should I say the ears, of folks from those categories. I want you to basically pour your heart out to them as well.
Okay. So for those of you who are still in the Community of Christ who are holding on to the historic beliefs, you're probably wondering why the changes. I'd encourage you with all my heart to investigate the material that has been referred to here. Go to Paul Trask's website and look at the discrepancies in the historical views that you may still be holding to. The RLDS clearly does depart from historic and orthodox Christianity. And if for those of you who have perhaps joined the RLDS more recently, the Community of Christ, look back to the history. I mean, the past always shapes us as individuals, as movements, and look back into that past and then ask yourself, what does the Community of Christ have to offer today? And encourage you to consider the claims of Orthodox Christian denominations. You'll find, I'm sure, that what the Community of Christ is offering is a very pallid imitation of traditional Christianity that will not satisfy your heart's longing. I mean, when I looked at what I had to do to eventually leave the Community of Christ, it was not an easy decision to make. I had to leave the six generations of my family's beliefs. I understand how tough that is. Okay. But In the conclusion of my book, one of the things I wrote is that truth is under no obligation to be palatable, but it's true. And if you are open and honest and pursue truth, you'll find, in fact, that truth is a person, Jesus Christ. And when you're in that, you'll find that he has already pursued you. And in that encounter, you'll find transformation as you encounter Jesus Christ. That's my hope and my prayer for you. It's been my experience. It's been the experience of many others who've left the RLDS community of Christ. Just be brave enough to take the lid off those beliefs and trust God for the journey.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask our co-host one more time, Jason Wallace, if he has anything to say before we run out of time today. Jason?
Just thank you so much for the information. Thank you for your testimony.
Well, Jason, why don't you give our listeners your contact information before I provide the contact information for our guest, Peter Elliott?
Sure. And this would apply for LDS and for Community of Christ. We've got materials that deal with the claims of Joseph Smith and all the various, you know, hundreds of groups that claim their origin back to him. If you go to lds.video, you can see our materials there. They're all free. And we have contact information there. The church website is gospelutah.org.
gospelutah.org, gospelutah.org. Before I take your contact information, Peter, we do have, I think we have time for two more listener questions. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who wants to know, in regard to the historic, more conservative version of the RLDS, what is the view of the afterlife? Are they annihilationists? Do they believe in a literal eternal heaven and a literal eternal hell, including conscious eternal punishment, etc.?
Okay. My recollection is that they'd still be holding to the idea of three heavens. So you remember the biblical vision where Paul said he's caught up to the third heaven. So they would have that level of belief historically that said that there are three levels of heaven in which they divide up the Trinity, incidentally. It's only the top level of heaven that you have access to all three members of the Trinity. If you get into the bottom level of heaven, you've just got the Holy Spirit, excuse me, being facetious here. And so that would allow for a gradation of afterlife depending on how you've lived.
Well, thank you, Bobby. You've also won a free copy of Reasons for Disbelief by Peter Elliott. Make sure that we have your full mailing address in Hartsdale, New York, so that cvbbs.com can ship that out to you. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and he asks, are there any talks among the LDS and RLDS hierarchy about the possibility of a merger because of the fact that they both appear to be drifting into liberalism? That's an interesting question.
I think that's probably more one for Paul Trask, but I think in view of the fact that the Community of Christ is taking the theological position that it is, as we've commented on, and the LDS in Utah seem to be at a very different position, the possibility for some sort of unity between the two, sitting here as I do in Perth, Western Australia, it seems to be fairly distant.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Actually, that was CJ. Well, I have one more question. In regards to Australia and perhaps particularly Western Australia, what are the major rivals to Orthodox Christianity, biblical Christianity, in regard to false religions and cults there that that you have to constantly not only teach your fellow Christians there about how they are aberrant and how they have departed from the faith, but to whom that you may personally be evangelizing to bring them to the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, Chris, I'd have to say that during the last 20 or 30 years, there's been a real decline in my experience in Australia in terms of encountering the cults. There are far less door knocking going on from Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses than there used to be. I think essentially in Australia, what we're facing is less of an issue with the cults being particularly militant, and just more of an issue with secularism, to be honest, in Australia. I think that's our pressing issue, and not so much that the cults are gaining a lot of ground.
Well, now I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. First of all, I know that the ministry that publishes your book, the ministry founded by Paul Trask, Refiner's Fire Ministries, they can be found at help4rlds.com. That's help, the number 4, not the word, but the numeral 4, rlds.com, help4rlds.com. Do you have any other contact information that you care to give personally?
Certainly. My current role is at Perth Bible College, where I'm Dean of Studies, and my contact there, my email address is P. Elliott, that's P-E-L-L-I-O-T-T, at PBC, or Perth Bible College, .wa.edu.au.
Do you care to mention anything about the Baptist Church where you are a member in Perth?
Sure, yeah. I'm part of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, which is in Perth's southern suburbs. It's a church that's been around for some decades, probably has about 600-700 members.
Wow.
So probably one of the larger Baptist churches here in Perth.
And you have any contact information for them?
I don't have their email offhand.
Well, that's okay. Well, you could email me. If anybody listening emails me, I'll get that information to you. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. I want you, those of you listening, to remember that next month, which is actually next week, as we move into the month of September, Carol Hansen, who is another former RLDS member who was saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and is now a biblical Christian and has been for some time, we're going to discuss her testimony of leaving the RLDS and the book that she has written, comparing and contrasting the RLDS with true, authentic, biblical, and historic Christianity. So make sure that you mark your calendars for Tuesday, the 4th of September, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time here in the United States. And then, of course, please pray for my trip to Jacksonville, Florida for the conference at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary that I have organized between, or should I say with, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and Michael L. Brown of the Line of Fire program and the Fire School for Ministry. And then the debate on Saturday, the 8th of September, at Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, between Michael Brown and Dr. White and two professing Christians and ordained ministers who are homosexuals, who will be defending that desire and practice as something acceptable to God. And of course, Dr. James R. White and Dr. Michael Brown will be opposing that and defending the biblical position on that. We want to thank you so much, Peter Elliott, for being our guest today, and I look forward to having you back on the program. And I want to thank you, Jason Wallace, as well, for being my co-host today.
My pleasure.
And I look forward to having you back not only as a co-host, but as a guest many times in the future. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions, perhaps even more, especially those who are listening who didn't identify yourselves, who might be members of the RLDS or the Community of Christ. I hope that you go to hope4rlds.com. jasonwhite.com and look up some of the other literature that they have available. And also go to Jason Wallace's website, lds.video. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.